Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for the living treasure of your Word. Every day that I live, I'm more and more aware at the awesome treasure your Word is. Father, I thank you that when we get into the Word, when we study the Word, when we meditate on the Word, we're meditating on your very heart, because the Word says that God and His Word are one. So you are one with your Word, Father, and as we receive this Word tonight, we're receiving your heart. And we ask you, Lord, that you will speak through us tonight, that our voices will be your voice, one to another, that we receive the seed of this Word as life, absolute life. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for increasing our awareness of how awesome the living Word of God is. The absolute living treasure. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I do. Every day, the more I study the Word, the more I fellowship in the Word, the more I pray, the more I confess the Word, the more of a treasure that I realize that it is. I'll be 51 years and a couple of weeks with her. Less than 2 weeks. So every day that I'm with her, I find more of a treasure in her. And it's that way with life. It's that way with God. The more we fellowship with Him, the richer the treasure is. And it's just awesome. It blows my mind sometimes. You think you've come to an understanding, but when you think that, you just find out there's more to understand. I love you, Lord, and I set my love upon you. I say that every day of my life. I set my love upon you, Lord. And it's something that we need to verbalize, I think, sometimes. That's why this confession is so important to us. If we confess this, we're setting our heart in agreement with that Word, with that treasure. And I just love it. That's why I'm so appreciative of when you guys come, when you're able to. It just means a lot to me, because then we all hear His voice. And we share and we grow. And the neat thing about it is there's things that are sowing, revelations that have come that we haven't heard yet. But it's because we study the Word together. Mm-hmm. It's there, and the seed is there. And down the road, you'll be driving down the road, and all of a sudden, a revelation will come that you never thought of before. Or you'll need a revelation, and God will bring that up, but we will not be able to track it back, maybe, to where that seed was sown. But it was sown. Whether it be in a church service, or in a time of prayer and meditation, or whether it be just something that somebody says, that at the time your carnal ear didn't hear, but your spirit did. And it's in the seed of the heart. I just love that. I love that. It might be 20 years before it comes up, but it will. It will, praise God. Well, tonight we're going to continue with our series. And that wasn't our message, by the way. But it was just something that was on my heart today. And anyways, we're still in our series, and we'll be here for a little while. Walking in the ways of the Lord. And this is part number 18. And in the actual characteristics of God, we started a few weeks ago, four or five messages ago, and we started with love, because that's who God is. And then we went to mercy and loving kindness, because God is love. He's full of mercy and loving kindness. That's all He is. He's love, mercy, and kindness, loving kindness. So we studied that, and then we went from loving kindness, mercy and loving kindness, we went to grace, and then from grace we went to righteousness, and today we're going to move into holiness. Walking a holy life separated unto God is the title of today's. And I explained it when we started, how they flow one to another, how love flows into loving kindness and mercy, and then grace flows from that. Because of His mercy and loving kindness, He imparted His grace. But the grace has to be received. It has to be, even though it's been poured out, A person has to desire that grace. He has to want that grace. He has to receive that grace before it can be activated. That's the word I want to say, before that grace can be activated. It's there for me, but it can't be activated till I receive it. Once you receive the activated grace of God, then you're made righteous. You automatically become righteous when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. A lot of people, because they haven't really studied or haven't got into deep enough into the Word, they think righteousness and holiness are the same thing, and they're not. Righteousness is simply right standing with God. It puts you back together with God. It connects you back where you were, God and Adam were, but on a higher level than he was. But it places the Holy Spirit himself inside your spirit, where you become one with his spirit. That's being right with God. You've been made righteous. You can't become righteous on your own. You become righteous because he makes you righteous.
Amen.
And from that righteousness, that reconnection with God, holiness flows from that. Holiness is a lifestyle. It's something that you walk. You can be born again and made righteous with God and not live a holy life. You can still live in the gutters of this world. And all the time, you've been made righteous or right with God because you're born again. But you're not living the life of righteousness. Holiness flows from your right standing, ultimately from love. So today we're going to look at that. We need to bear that in mind, because there is a difference between the two. If I say I'm walking a righteous life, it's not quite correct, because in that context, the righteousness that I would be walking would be a works.
Yeah.
It would be based on what I'm doing. Now, pre-cross, that's the only way you could get there, is because the cross hadn't happened. And God, the Holy Spirit's not dwelling and living inside them. He was up on them, and they had to come and do certain things to get even close to a right standing with God temporarily. But due to the cross, Jesus became our righteousness. He became our sacrifice. And because of that, now we can be, when we get born again, we become in him. Or some say we're baptized into Christ. We're immersed into Christ when we get born again. So that puts us in the right standing, and that cannot be by works. We cannot work that. We can only receive what Jesus did. And that's righteousness. So if I'm saying I'm living a righteous life and I leave holiness out, it's all by works and it's not real. It's back under the law. It becomes a work mentality in my righteousness. Righteousness is something I am because I got born again. Holiness is the lifestyle of righteousness. Does that make sense to everybody? Because so if you put righteousness in the place of holiness, it doesn't work. That's why you got to understand the difference in the two. I'm made righteous, therefore I can live a holy life. It doesn't mean I will. It means I can. I've been set aside or separated unto. We'll see that even in the dictionary definition for holiness.
I don't want to say it's ironic, because it's not ironic the way it lines up, but I wound up doing communion last week even though I wasn't scheduled to do it.
Oh, really?
We needed someone to do it, and I was just... My wife volunteered me.
Oh, she volunteered you?
So I just... But I got up and just did what felt right, and it lines up just so directly with that.
It's amazing, isn't it? God is so good. He's so good. But once you start studying these things and you see how they kind of fit and how they flow one from another, how they're linked up, boy, things just start coming we become more aware of things. We can connect it so much easier because we're actually in the Word learning, and the Holy Spirit's revealing it to us. The Holy Spirit was revealing that to you. Once you get the revelation that God is love, and as He is, so are we, then things start like a domino effect. They start stacking up because you can see it. The God that He's revealed Himself as, but that the church doesn't know, because they're not taught. But it's just amazing how things flow one to another, and how they don't flow from each other only, but they are directly related to one another, and they draw on one another to become what they really are. And we're going to see that in holiness tonight, too. But you can think that you're living a righteous life. And in a sense you are, because now you're connected to God. But holiness is the actual walking of that righteous lifestyle with God. And like I say, you can be right with God, born again, and made right and connected, but not live a holy life. Well, holy, really, is God Himself. He's absolute holiness. It also means separated. Separated unto God, sanctified. For instance, everything that they made for the sanctuary and for the temple in pre-cross, everything that was brought to Him became holy. It became, even if they touched something that was holy, that became holy, or if the person or the thing was unclean, that became unclean. There's a connection between it. But holiness, holy is God Himself, and we'll see in the dictionary definition in a moment here, it's separated unto God, or sanctified. That's what sanctified means, separated unto. So it's a dictionary definition. Number one is belonging to, derived from, or associated with a divine power, sacred. Okay, so that would be God. Number two, regarded with veneration or specified for a religious purpose. Number three, living or undertaken with highly moral or spiritual purpose, saintly. Number four is regarded as deserving special respect or reverence. That's holy. It's specific. It's unto God or unto this holy being. The Bible would be considered holy, although it's not in and of itself. It's pages and words on a page. But the Bible as a whole is holy unto God. Its purpose is holy. It's separated unto God. It's His word. So it's holy. Now let's look at holiness. And they're not exactly the same. Holiness is the state or quality of being holy, sanctified. Or the holiness would be considered walking the life, the righteous life out, walking a holy life because I'm righteous. That would be holiness. Or I could even say I'm walking a holy life. But walking a holy life is holiness. God is holy. He's absolutely holy. And I need to know that. There's nothing holier than God Himself. We become holy when we've been made righteous with God. As far as God is concerned, once you become righteous, you become holy. You're separated unto Him. But that means now I've got to walk in holiness because I'm separated unto God. Because God is love and rich in mercy and loving kindness, He has imparted His mercy to all of mankind by His abundant grace, but it's unto all who receive it. See, He went ahead and imparted it. He didn't leave anybody out. He imparted it to everyone. His grace was spread out or imparted towards man, but it's not activated until the person receives it. By His grace, He has made us righteous, putting us back into right standing with God Himself, to all who will receive his grace and mercy. So see, there's a part that we have to play. Just because I go to church and I call myself a Christian doesn't make me holy. It doesn't make me righteous. My parents can be righteous because they made Jesus Lord of their lives. They received his grace. But if I don't receive that grace in my own life, I can never become righteous or right with God, put back in right standing with him, and therefore I cannot walk a holy life. It's more than walking with certain clothes and having a certain hairstyle, and I'm not knocking anybody for doing that. I say there's more involved than that. It's more than not driving a car and all that other stuff that you see people thinking is holy. Some places they actually crawl on their knees a certain place because they think that's, I mean, long distances, because that thinks that makes them righteous. And they can deal with their sins that way. But sorry, that's not Bible holiness. It's not Bible righteousness. Now, you may be able to work that out pre-cross, but we're not pre-cross. Okay, we're post-cross. So because we have received his grace and mercy, making us holy, making us righteous, because we have received his grace and mercy, making us righteous, we can now live a holy life. Because I've been put right back right with God. It doesn't mean I will. In order to walk a holy life, I've got to know what it is. Holiness is a lot more than the bun and the long dresses and certain colors and whether I separate myself. I can do all of that. I can separate myself completely out into communes and all of that, but never been made right with God, and be doing it as a work or as a religious, something I have to do religiously. And even though I'm doing something, I'm not living a holy life. Matter of fact, I'm doing the opposite. I'm in a bondage. I'm not free. But I need to add, if I'm doing that same thing, and I'm doing it to honor God, mm-hmm. from a heart condition, now that's acceptable unto God. I still have to be made right. I still have to be born again. Mm-hmm. I can do all those things and never be born again, mm-hmm. and think I'm right with God, mm-hmm. and living a holy life. But I'm not, because I'm not born again. But I can do those things and be born again and do all of that, and there'd be nothing wrong with it if my heart is right with God when I'm doing it. But if I'm doing it out of a religious ordinance or being more or less forced into it, and it's not coming from my heart, it's coming as a duty, that's not acceptable unto God.
But that all works.
It's a work. See, and that's where the difference is. And that's why so many people think they're living a holy life that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe, maybe not. Right. It depends on their heart condition when they're doing it. See, it's important that we know these things. It's important that when I look at myself, why am I doing this? Am I doing this out of a duty, an obligation? Or is it coming from my heart because I love my Father? Now, I can do all those things and do it out of love for my Father. And while you think it's a work, to me it's not a work. Because I'm separating myself because I want to do this. It's a sacrifice on my part to the Father. It's not a work. See, so you got to fine-tune these things and get down to why you do it. What's behind your purpose and motive? Your intention. You know, whether it's... And I don't judge people for the certain hats and certain clothes. And I don't judge that. I do not know that person's motive. I don't know. They can just love God with all of their heart. Mm-hmm. And that's acceptable to the Father. Mm-hmm. But the guy that follows him up may not be doing that. He may, because he got born in the group, he has to do that. That's not acceptable. even though they think it is. Am I making sense? Because it's a heart condition is what God looks at. Why you're doing things. I could have hair under my feet, tattoos on every arm, and be holy and living a holy life. Because I love the Lord. Because I'm born again. I'm made right with Him. I may have not been when I got that stuff. My life may not have been right. But I'm right with God now. So I can't judge somebody by the way they look or how they even act. Why they do certain things. I got to think the best of that person. And if the Lord quickens me to minister in some way, He'll open the door to do that. I won't have to go in there and force my way in and say, hey, you dirty dog, you're going to hell, you got tattoos. No, He's not. No, that's not, you're not sent to hell because you got a tattoo. You're sent to hell because you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's why you go there. So we need to realize these. And I'm not saying run out and get a tattoo. You know? It's not something you want to do because the Word does come against that. But if you've got it when you're born again, you're fine. You're fine. What's your heart motive? Why are you doing it? And even if you're born again and you wind up doing it and you don't know and you're still fine. Repent. Get things right back with God. Am I making sense? Because it's a heart condition that we're talking about. That's where the holiness comes from, is from the heart. And so let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. I know we've read this before, but some of these scriptures will be familiar because we've talked about them before. But they're directly related to what we're talking about. So we need to kind of go back over them again, and maybe the Lord will... Sometimes you can look at the same scripture and you think you got everything in it, but when you read it related to something else, now you've got another angle of view of that scripture. A lot of scriptures you'll find that will be involved in almost everything you study. They have to do with everything you study sometimes. And other times it won't apply here, but it'll apply in another place, and you'll get a message. And he just read that last week. Yeah, but it's coming from a different angle now. It still applies. Yeah, so, okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, and again that's past tense, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Glory to God. He has, past tense, blessed us already with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, why don't I see them? Because I haven't activated it. You see, the blessings are there. God's finished the work. I'm involved in activating it. But they're there. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Pay attention to the words. The word should be is there. See, as far as God is concerned, He done the work. He paid the price. As far as He is concerned, it's available to everyone, whoever it is. It's available. The should be means that person has to activate it. They have to do what's required to put them in that place. In this case, they have... Notice it says also in Christ. What's in Christ mean? It means you've been born again. So once you are in Christ, now the should be isn't there anymore. It's are instead of should be. You see the difference? There's something that has to be done. Then in verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. I love that. I like Amplified better, but I'm using the New King James here. But anyway, having predestined us. But when did He do that? He'd done that before the foundation of the world. So as far as he's concerned, he done everything to put everybody that'll ever exist in relationship with him. He doesn't go out and have to do it for this group over here. Hey, I forgot those. And then go back and do it again. He doesn't have to do that. In his heart and life, he predestined all of mankind to be in relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Even before the fall. That he predestined all of us in Adam. Mm-hmm. Because Adam wasn't supposed to fall. See, everyone that ever was born should have been born before the fall. Mm-hmm. Without any pain. And they would still be existing. That's why all the worlds are there. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be enough room here. See, so we got to think about these things. You know, God didn't make a mistake. He predestined all of mankind to be in relationship with him. Mm-hmm. That's what he planned. Mm-hmm. And now he's busy, as in Colossians, he's putting everything back into the same place, mm-hmm. back into the relationship. But because of free choice, man has to choose. They have to want that relationship. And that's what righteousness and holiness and grace is all about. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 1. And you, who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the people at Colossae, but he's also talking about us. So when it says you, I can say Michael. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. I wasn't an enemy to God. I wasn't alienated. Yes, you were. You got born into this life, you were alienated. Like it or not, you were there. Everybody is, because of Adam's fall. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now. I like that. That's the same thing as but. yet now. He has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. He did this to present us holy. He made us righteous, made us holy, done everything that was needed for us to do. Now we have to live the righteous, the holy life. Okay. And now let's go to 1 Thessalonians. It's in the body of his flesh he did that. Or he did that on the cross. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So that, verse 13 starts with so that. So what we're talking about in verse 13 is related to verse 12, right? So if it's related to verse 12, what part in verse 12 is it related to? That you may increase and abound in love. It's talking about love here. Love is the reason of the activator for what's going to happen in verse 13. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. So in order for us to, for him to establish our hearts blameless in holiness, love has to be there. Mm-hmm. Who does the abounding in love? We do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read that verse 12 again, then put it together with that in mind. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the love walk. Walking in love on purpose. So that, when I do that, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. So if we don't do our part, he can't do his. That's what that says. If we don't abound in love, if we don't walk the love walk, we don't do that, then he cannot establish our hearts. See, he establishes our hearts as we walk in love. As we allow His love to pour in us and through us to others. And the more we're others-centered in our life, the stronger our holy walk gets. The stronger He can establish our hearts. But that's our part. See, we have to choose that. He can't just come in here and say, Michael, you've done a good job. Boom, there you are. He can't do that. He's waiting for me. Like He's standing there with that treasure, holding it, waiting for me to do my part. Then He can impart it. See, so. Okay, now let's look at our next one. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will be a person walking a holy life, having an established heart, or being spiritually minded. So that's what that person will look like. If you're walking in the ways of the Lord, you will automatically be walking a holy life. You'll be walking in holiness because of love, because you have an established heart. That's just what He just got done saying here in 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13, that if this person increases and abounds in love, then he can have an established heart. But without walking the love walk, we cannot have an established heart. Everything revolves around love, no matter what it is. That's why we have to concentrate on it so much in our own life. And that's why the love walk applies to every single area of our Christian walk. There's no place that it doesn't apply to. It applies to everything. That's why it's so vital that we know what it is and how to identify it whether or not we're walking it. Or the person who is walking in the ways of the Lord has a life joined to the heart of God and is pleasing to Him. That person will be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. If you have your heart in tune with God's heart, you will not be carnally minded. You'll be spiritually minded. You will on purpose filter the things in your life through the Word of God, through the love walk. You may not be there now, but you're working towards that. Your desire is to work towards it. You'll never really, truly arrive. You will always have to make a new decision in every now moment. It's not something we just, okay, I've arrived, and then I can sit down and never have to make another decision. Well, that doesn't work that way, does it? No. Every now moment has a new challenge. Every now and moment has a new decision to be made. So we need to realize that. So, the person who is walking in the ways of the Lord has a life joined to the heart of God and is pleasing to Him. That person will be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Now let's look at Romans 8:5. I know we know what that is, but we're going to look at it again because, as I said earlier, these scriptures are directly related to walking a holy life or walking in holiness. Romans 8:5, and it's related to what I just got done saying. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we see this person who is walking right with God, who's walking in the ways of the Lord, he has set his mind on spiritual things. To set your mind on something, what does that mean? It means that this is your focus. This is where I'm aiming in my life. I may make mistakes. Yes, I may still have some old ways pop up now and then. But my aim, my goal, my focus in my life, my mind is set to walk a spiritual life, to be spiritually minded. And what happens if you do that? You're going to recognize the places that you're not. I mean, you'll say, man, I'm the worst guy in the world. No, you're not. You're becoming more aware of areas that you need to change, areas that you need to work on. You're doing it because you desire this holy spiritual life with God. See, you're going upstream in this life. Walking a spiritual life, being spiritually minded, it's not all that easy on your carnal nature. You're in a carnal, fallen world. It's going to be, especially when you start out, a little difficult to correct yourself, and you'll think, man, I'm never going to get there. You will in your now moment. But if you focus on the whole thing, you'll never get there. But if you focus on your now and correct in the now, you will be there. You'll be walking. If you have your feet side by side and you make a step, what happens to the other foot? It automatically comes up. I don't have to force that other foot to start coming up. It starts coming up as soon as I move my front foot. That's what walking is. Now, watch your feet sometime. If you're standing still, they're both in the same place. But if you move your foot forward, the heel of your other foot that's still standing there in the same spot is coming up. It's in preparation for the next step. And that's the way you walk a holy life. That's the way, when you're spiritually minded, you'll be doing that. You'll be being prepared for the next now moment by the now moment you're in. Like walking on a path or something. But if you stop, everything stops. And you start going backwards. It becomes harder to make that now moment step forward because you stopped. It's important that we live a life focused. I can't do that. I am so busy. You can do that and be busy. You can do it because of the Holy Spirit living in you. As you make those decisions, you will become sensitive to those steps. And you may want to start going that way, may want to start flying off the handle, but you'll catch yourself. Yes. And if you don't catch yourself, you will. The enemy tries to make you feel like you failed. You haven't failed, you succeeded. Because you recognized it. You recognized it. So you were able to either halt it, or you were able to correct it after the fact. He wants you to get to the place where you feel like you failed and you can't do this. Don't listen to that. Because every time you make a decision, you get stronger. And you become more and more aware of what's coming against you, what the enemy is using. More and more aware of your carnal nature. And because you're more and more aware of it, you become more and more able, increasingly able to correct it. And if you have your heart with God, if you're walking with Him on purpose, the Holy Spirit in you strengthens you. He strengthens you. He's the one actually that's pointing it out to you. And if the Holy Spirit points it out to you, guess who's backing your change and correction? He's pointing it out so you can make your decision. If He didn't point it out, you'd have went ahead and flowed right into that thing, and a month later realized you did it, and now you're really in the problem. But because He points it out to you, now you can correct it, and He supplies the strength to do it. That's so awesome to me. Realizing I'm not alone in this mess. So, in verse 6 there, "For to be carnally minded is death." See, if you're walking this natural life and you think that's all you're able to do, or you keep conforming to it, it's always leading to death. There's no life in it.
Yes.
Even though Satan tries to make it look like there's a blessing there, that blessing is going to tear you apart. Because it's not really a blessing. Mm-hmm. It's leading you to the point of destruction. Mm-hmm. And it will get you there. Oh, I won the lottery. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You don't handle that correctly, buddy. It's not a blessing. You know? So, or I gambled and I won all this money. You won't the next time. You'll go right back and you'll lose twice as much.
Yeah.
It's not a blessing. It's not. But it says here, the but's there. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, now, God can grant me the same blessing from Him. He can bless me with that. And now it brings life. Because that money or that blessing will not have me. I will have it. And God will show me what to do with it. And the more I give from it, the more He pours into me. Because He knows that I'll be faithful and trustworthy with it. That's awesome too. Walking a holy life is walking the love walk. And you cannot separate the love walk and a holy life. Like, again, you can do what you think is holy and it not be in love and other-centered, and it's not a holy life. But walking a holy life, how you identify whether or not you're doing it, is if you are walking the love walk. If you're doing that, then the holy life, the holiness is automatic. That's how you walk a right standing with God, how you walk it out. You walk it out. And I know everybody knows here, but maybe somebody listened to this and haven't ever thought about it. When I say walking, when the word talks about walking, it's talking about a lifestyle. A lifestyle. Walking the love walk will develop and perfect a holy life. Every decision you make based on the love walk, every one that you make, will start increasing and developing your holy life. That is so awesome to me. Our next scripture, and you know where we're going. I'm talking about the love walk. We have to go here. There's no way not to go here and talk about the love walk. But we're going to do it again because it applies. We're going to 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, an Amplified Bible. That's where we talked about this before. But I want to just read these real quickly down here, and then we're going to look at this scripture. Now, again, to follow along, it's on the last page. There's two pages here. So on the second page is the scripture word for word in the Amplified Classic, and that's where all this comes from. So, love describes all that God is, His very nature and all His ways. All of God's ways are love. Love is the root and foundation and entire reason for all that God has done, is doing, and ever will do. Love covers all of time and eternity. Love is the reason for all of creation that is in time and eternity. Love is the reason that Jesus was sent. Love is the reason for His entire life, death, burial, descent into hell, and His resurrection from the dead. Love is the reason that He ascended into heaven, where He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. Love is the reason for the coming of the Holy Spirit and His abiding in us. Love is the reason for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He is a very special love gift from the Father Himself. Love is the reason for, the root, the foundation, and the source of all the promises and commandments, all of the do's and don'ts. Love covers all of the covenants in the entire Bible. The Bible is a book of love, a love covenant. Love is the reason for the end times. Love is the reason for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. A person walking in the ways of the Lord will be a person who walks the love walk or walks the holy life. They will be a person who will endure long, will be patient and kind, will not be envious or boil over with jealousy, will not be boastful or vainglorious, will not display themselves haughtily, will not be conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride, will not be rude, unmannerly, and will not act unbecomingly, will not insist on their own rights or their own way, for it is not self-seeking, for they are not self-seeking, will not be touchy or fretful or resentful, they will not take account of an evil done to them, they pay no attention to a suffered wrong, they will not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoice when right and truth prevail. They will bear up under anything and everything that comes. They will be ever ready to believe the best of every person. Their hopes will be fadeless under all circumstances. They endure everything without weakening. Their love will never fail, never fade out, or becomes obsolete or come to an end. That is a picture of a person who is walking the love walk or walking a holy life. Now let's read the scripture itself, and you'll see it lines up 100% with what I just said, because that's where I got it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8a. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor bold with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for we are not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of an evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. That is a checklist that we can all use to see, am I walking a love walk? Am I walking a holy life? Where am I falling short here? If I'm not patient, if an impatient person, then that's something that God can work on with me, because it's a fruit. He's already put it in us. It's already in the spirit man. So I can work on this. It's not something that he can do for me. I've got to call this up and exercise my patience. And you can go on down through there. I don't want to take any more time on that. But I need to realize that walking the love walk, walking a holy life, is walking the love walk. It's automatic. As I make choices to correct these areas in my life, I become a person that is actually walking a holy life to the Lord. But I can't do that any place but in my now moment, because all of these are not going to come up, hopefully, all at the same time. There may be more than one working at the same time, but I don't think all of them will work at the same time. So I can do this in a now moment, in a progressive, as a progressive lifestyle. Many of us have our focus on not doing the don'ts, when we should have our focus on doing the do's. Doing the do's will overcome doing the don'ts.
I heard something like that many years ago. Walking the love walk turns your don'ts into won'ts.
Right, exactly. That kind of goes along with my next statement here.
Oh, pardon me.
That's not the word for word, but it's close. In other words, we need to concentrate our focus on walking the love walk. If we do that, it will keep us from doing the don'ts. See, our focus is on the wrong. If you watch people and listen to them, if they've got an issue or a problem that they shouldn't be doing, they're constantly talking about not doing it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I just did it. They're so focused on not doing something that they don't focus on doing what's the do is to overcome the don't. Mm-hmm. So if we're walking the love walk, really, and I'm concentrating on that, I don't have to focus on the sins. I don't have to focus on that. I need to be aware of them and avoid them. But if I'm walking the love walk, it'll take care of the sin.
But if you might be raised in a household that doesn't focus on anything but sins.
Yeah. So if that's where you're at.
So a kid will come up like that, and that's all they think all the time is what a bad person they are.
And you think, I can't change this. It's, help me, God. And he already has.
Yeah, but you know, see, that's a learned thing.
But how do we learn this? We get into the Word. And we get into places where the Word is taught. If we don't do that, we're going to continuously be right back where we were and think we fail all the time. And we don't have to fail. We got our focus on the don'ts, which I need to be aware of them, but they can't be my focus.
If anything you do is in love or in service to others, the don'ts don't happen.
Right. Exactly, Nate. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. The don't happen. You don't ignore them because they're out there.
Yes.
But I'm walking in a higher law. Mm-hmm. You see, Now, the opportunity, Jesus had the opportunity to do every one of them. He just didn't do it. He was walking in a higher law. And we have that ability because God has made us righteous. And he's given us the ability to walk a holy life. He's given us everything necessary to do. Now, you can turn this love walk into works if you don't watch yourself. We confess this together every day, that scripture. Make it personal. I do it the second time because I pray it for other people. I pray this for other people. So, anyways, I highly advise you to make it part of your confession and make it personal. It will help train your mind to be aware of those things. And expect the Holy Spirit to point out where you're falling short. He's not condemning you when he points it out. He's showing you where there's something that he will work on with you if you'll work with him. And it's a step-by-step thing. And if it's a place where you have an ongoing weakness or a problem, then concentrate on that. I can't confess it because I'm still doing it. Yes, you can confess it. I think the best of every person, and I take no account of a suffered wrong. The confessing of that is part of the advancing into it. You're confessing it by faith. This is my desire. This is how I see myself. This is how God sees me. I'm agreeing with the word. I'm walking the love walk. So I think the best of every person. First thing that happens is that person that you don't think the best of comes by. Now you've got an opportunity to practice what you've been confessing. See, so this it's an ongoing thing, and it's not something you have to continuously have the scriptures in front of you. It's something that's in you because you've been confessing it, and the Holy Spirit will bring it up as you go through that circumstance or situation. This is exciting to me because I'm still working on this, and so will you be in another 10 years. Walking a holy life or holiness can only be done in a now moment as we walk the love walk. It's not just the now moment, it's what you do in that now moment. The love walk will separate us from a sinful life. And that's how what we just got done talking about is how it separates us from a sinful life. If I see myself living a sinful life, and I'm not walking the love walk and don't see that changing my life, I will continue where I was, even though I don't have to. And in my own power, white knuckle, so to speak, I will try to beat those things. And I can't. Because I'm carnally minded. They're part of being carnally minded. So they're going to be there. But if I will become spiritually minded and concentrate on being spiritually minded, walking the love walk, it will correct those areas. Now, it will take time. It will take decisions ongoing. But it will start building in you. And after a while, you'll recognize that thing coming and it won't even affect you anymore.
Amen.
That's not my life. You don't belong to me. And you can talk right to it and go right on down the road. And just because you think a thought doesn't make it your thought. It's not your thought until you act on it. But even if you make it your thought, by acting on it, you can change that too. Mm-hmm. By God's grace, praise God. That's good preaching. I'm tapping my foot over here. Okay, let's look at Ephesians 4:22. Now this goes along with the do's that we have a responsibility to do. And I'm using the Amplified here because it's more intense on what it's saying. Strip yourselves. I always did like that. We're not going to do that, but in the natural at least. But it says, strip yourselves of your former nature. That's what you're stripping off. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self. So who gets rid of the old, unrenewed self? Does God or do we?
We
do. We have to do something with that old man. He's dead, but the memory's still there. The file cabinet still has some files in it. So we have to delete those files. Nate can delete a whole computer. I've done it myself by accident.
Delete all files?
The very first time I had a real old Windows 3.1 as my first computer.
3.0.
Yeah,
3.0.
Yeah, it was 3.0.
We didn't have a mouse. It was the one you had to push the type arrow button.
Yeah, it was really old. You know, so tell I'm dating.
/C://
Yeah. Anyways, a friend of ours come over and wasn't quite doing what I wanted to do. And I didn't know anything about computers. All the first one I got, I could turn it on and work with it.
30 years ago,
I couldn't work with it, and it scared me. You know, it no longer scares me, and not for a long time, but it did. And it was doing that when he was here, and he said, "Hey, I can fix that." He deleted the whole computer. Honestly, he did. I'd had to take it back out and get it reprogrammed. I didn't know anything. But I learned something in the process. Anything that you delete, you can fix. Almost anything you can put right back. I don't know how many thousands of computers I've just erased and put back, you know. So it no longer scares me. But it did that time. But see, that's the way you can delete your whole life. You know, that way.
I'm in the kitchen right here. Oh no!
Yeah, that's what both of us said at the same time. Yeah. Guy's name was Tim. He was one of Nick's friends, and they were part of our Bible study. But both same age, going to the same school, and I can fix that. He did. He did. It wasn't funny at the time, but it is now.
Problem solved.
I know Nate's never done that. Never deleted the wrong thing. very often. We'll put that in there. Anyways, okay. So strip yourself. That's what it's talking about. Strip yourself of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new man, the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, verse 24 there, the last one, says, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self. What does it mean when it's talking about the new nature or the new man? The new man or the new nature consists not merely in words or of one class of actions, but of the entire human development. The characteristics of the new man is godliness, and its distinctive features are righteousness and true holiness. That next part of that scripture says true holiness. In verse 24, it ends by saying in true righteousness and holiness.
Boy.
But there's a reason the Amplified puts that there.
Yeah.
Well, true holiness and righteousness. This is not a righteousness or a holiness by works of the law. That's what it's talking about. If it just says righteousness and holiness, it could be a work. But when it says true righteousness and holiness, it's talking about a righteousness and a holiness which is by grace. It's a free gift that can only come from God Himself when the person is born again. It's not a works holiness and righteousness. It's a free gift from God when you're born again. And that's why the Amplified says true holiness and righteousness. Because it's not by works. It cannot be by works. Now let's go on. 2 Corinthians 4:16. I may just give you the scriptures here, but I'm not quite sure how much more I got. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things of the spirit are eternal, but the things of the carnal nature, they're not eternal. They're temporary, unless you go to hell. But to the born again person, the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And notice where that renewed day by day is. It's in the inward man. It's in the spirit. That's where we're renewed day by day. But our natural physical being, our carnal nature, it's death. It's not being renewed day by day. Romans 8:11 says that that inward man, if we're born by the Spirit, that inner presence of the Holy Spirit will bring life to all of our flesh. It'll quicken our mortal body. So the very life of Christ inside of us brings life to us. Hebrews 12:12. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Hebrews 12:15. This is the Amplified. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and many become contaminated and defiled by it. So see, we have to exercise foresight. I have to be thinking where this is leading me. And if I'm walking the love walk and I'm sensitive to being spiritually minded because of a practiced lifestyle, I'm going to be thinking foresight. I'm going to be thinking where this action of mine or the circumstances are leading. I'll be exercising foresight there as we walk the love walk in obedience to God's living word. The truth of his word abiding in us will sanctify us, causing us to walk a holy life unto the Lord.
Amen.
John 17:17, this is the Amplified. Sanctify them. And the Amplified, the reason I use that one, for one thing, Jesus is praying this, and because it's his prayer, God most certainly heard it. This scripture in the Amplified defines what sanctify means and how he does it. So in John 17:17, Amplified Classic, sanctify them. Who's to them? We are. Sanctify them. Purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. So see, it tells us what sanctify means first, and Jesus is asking that we be sanctified. That word means that we're to be purified. It means to consecrate us and to separate us for himself and to make us holy.
Amen.
This way we're made righteous, he makes us holy. But then it tells us how he does it. He asked God to do it, then he said how to do it. By the truth. Then it says, thy word is truth. God's word is absolute truth. Cannot be changed or altered. And he uses the truth of his word to separate us, to sanctify us, to make us holy. That's why it's so important that we are in the word, that we filter our life through the word, because that's what he's using to increase our knowledge, our wisdom, to purify our minds, to renew our minds. The word says our minds are renewed by the word. Everything God does, he does through his word. He doesn't do anything at all that's not in his word, because it's covenant, because he is the word. Jesus is the Word, but God and His Word are one. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. We've been talking about that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's saying, make your life a sacrifice. That's what, when you're walking a holy life, separated unto God, that's what you're doing. You're making your life is a gift to God. You're walking a holy life, so you're separated unto Him. And what you do when you walk the love walk, you're walking it as a sacrifice unto the loving Father. You're walking it because of His love, of your love for Him. And Paul says here, it's your reasonable service. In other words, it's the least you can do. It's the least you can do. If somebody says, well, do that, it's the least you can do. It means that anything less than that is not acceptable. That you should be doing more, but this is the least you can do. And you're renewed by the Word. Now, I'm going to do this one more here. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, or have a renewed mind. Gird up, dress up, put on the armor. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. At the revelation of Jesus Christ, His grace and hope and the renewing of our mind comes to being. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, or walk a holy life, or the love walk. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now that is a commandment. That is God's desire for His church and for His people. That's why He done what He did. 2 Corinthians 7:1, I'll read this. I have Amplified and the New King James. I'm just going to read the Amplified for the sake of time, and then I'll have to stop there. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. Well, see, we have to do that. We have to take off the old man. We have to put on the new man. But we do it by the Word. We do it out of love for our Father. We do it because we want to walk this holy life. So see, walking a holy life is more than just being righteous. Holiness and a holy life flows from righteousness. We're connected to God. I can be connected to God by being born again and not walk a holy life. But to walk a holy life, or holiness, is what we've been talking about. So I can't go there, but take time to study. Take time to study Ephesians 4:25 to 29, or you can go. Actually, it should be 32. That was what we were going to last. I just don't want to take the time to go through it, but take the time to read that and to study it, because it's also talking about things that we should do. Be angry and sin not. Let him that steals, steals no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. These are things that we make the decision for. And it's, if we look at those things that we're to do in those scriptures, if we look at them as do's and don'ts, or as don'ts, that's the only way I look at those. They become works. And it becomes something that I cannot do. But if I look at that list in Ephesians 4:25 through 32 as something I do out of love for my Father, if I look at it through not so much the don'ts, but the do's, I look at it as do's. I do this as a sacrifice to my Father. I do these things because I love my Father. And the Holy Spirit is quickening me as I do them. It's kind of like a checklist, the way 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 is. I can look at those scriptures and see that if I'm in bitterness and wrath and anger and these things are functioning, I cannot possibly be walking the love walk. There's something wrong in me, with me. I got to change this. I got to do something to change it. So don't use it as legalistic as just don'ts. Use it as do's because of your love for your Father. Because realizing that you have been righteous, you've been made righteous, and you are to live a holy life out of love for the Father, and that He strengthens you to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank You for this word tonight. Lord,
thank You, Lord.
Thank You for teaching us these things. There's so much more that we don't know. And these things You want us to know, because in doing these things, that's where You're able to flow through us to a hurting world. This is where You can pour Your love out into us in its fullness. Lord, renew our minds with this word. Cause us to walk right with You by Your Spirit. Lord, we know that walking right with You brings joy. It brings life. It brings health. It puts us in a place, Lord, where we can be an answer instead of part of the problem. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.